Time now for the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you keeping, Mufti Saab, this morning?
All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, and hope you are well, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We are busy discussing the conduct of a Haji whilst he is at the Holy Lands. We spoke about the fact of Ikram and Khidmah, assisting the elderly, assisting the people with the conveyor belt or the luggage, and also when you are in the plains of Arafah or wherever you are, whatever little you can carry along with you, you should carry that and make Ikram of the people, serve them. We also spoke about the importance of carrying a small medical aid kit with a basic necessity, whatever you require in that, so that if there's some sort of hiccup, you can assist the people around there. And also, Mulana, you spoke about the fact that sometimes you require directions. Where is this place? There's so many doors at the Holy Land. So, to helping people get to the destination. So, those were the points that we picked up from the previous discussion, and we continue in the same light, Mufti Saab.
Yes, inshallah, ta'ala, we'll sort of round off that discussion today, Mulana. Strangely, you mentioned about, you know, yes, last week we did speak about helping people to find directions and to show them, you know, how to reach a destination. This week, I downloaded an app on my phone on, you know, finding your way around the Haram.
Ajib.
So I was quite, you know, intrigued by this particular app. It's actually called Al Maqsad.
Al Maqsad. Let me see.
Al Maqsad. And it's actually it has been prepared by the Haramain services. You know, there's a government services, the Haramain services by the government, Saudi government, that which looks after the affairs of the Haramain. They are the people that actually prepared the app. And it's got you know, what happens is, if it works off your position is like a GPS, it will pick up exactly where you are. And you can communicate that information to anybody who's looking for you, that you stay at that particular point and that person will find you exactly where you are based on this particular app. But of course, this is high-tech stuff, Maulana. And maybe it will take a while before, you know, this technology becomes more frequently used. The thing is, there are many millions of Hujjaj who come from very poor countries. They save their life savings to make it for Hajj. So they don't carry smartphones and they don't have all of these apps on their phones. It's only a tiny percentage of people who have the apps in the first place. So the khidmah of showing people directions and, you know, assisting them to find their way will still continue. It will still remain. That, no matter how many apps you have, you'll still be able to, that requirement will remain. And so you can serve people in this way and you can earn rewards and you can take the du'as of people like this also.
I'm just playing with the app as you are speaking, Mufti Saab. It's got some nice features, like if you are looking for Babul Umrah, now if you are lost, it will actually point out to you where to go. And some
exactly.
Other facilities, gates, haram area, main roads, special needs services, bus stations and things like that. Very good app, Mufti Saab.
Excellent. And it's also got Medina Sharif Haram all included.
Okay, mashallah.
So it's not only the Makkah Haram, but even the Medina Haram. If you need to find any place or any direction around the Haram of Medina Munawwara, it's also included on that app.
Alhamdulillah.
So in fact, if a person downloads the app with the intention of making khidmat of someone, in the sense that that person is lost and they don't know where they, you know, they need to go to a certain place which you don't know, you can sort of type that in and it'll lead you to that point or to that place. In either case, in any way, that's the intention to serve people and to assist people is the important one.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a fervor and desire to serve people, to make khidmat of people, to make ikram of people, as I mentioned in the previous program, that ibadat se jannat milti hai aur khidmat se khuda milta hai. With our ibadat we'll get jannat, but with khidmat we'll get the creator of jannat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is obviously superior. Which doesn't mean that ibadat is not important. We're not downplaying the importance of ibadat in any way.
Mm.
Indeed, ibadat is the very purpose for which we have been created, and we're going to the Haramain Sharifain primarily for ibadat, but at the same time, we should not overlook or, underrate the importance of khidmat as well.
Mm.
We should have a fervor of khidmat. Sometimes the khidmat supersedes the reward of the ibadat. Nevertheless, there are various things that were mentioned previously in the two previous programs we spoke about. Inshallah, today we will round off the discussion on adding one or two or some other additional points on how to assist people and how to make khidmat and ikram of people on the journey of Hajj.
Hmm.
There are lots of people who have difficulty even in understanding the basic aspects of Umrah, of Hajj. And we find that common mistakes are made, simple mistakes are made because of lack of knowledge.
Hmm.
So we say that if Allah Ta'ala has given you some knowledge and understanding and you know some basic aspects and people are getting it wrong on the very basic aspects, then you should also assist them and make the khidmah in this way, that explain the proper way of doing it to them, explain the proper method to them. If you see them making a common mistake, try to explain to them in a nice way as possible, so that they can do it the proper way. Now, I'm not saying that those who don't have sufficient knowledge must start giving fatwas and verdicts. But what we are saying, that if you have the knowledge or the basics and you see somebody doing a basic thing wrong, or is asking you about a basic thing about which you have knowledge, then you should not hold back. You should explain it. So this is also one form of serving the people. Like we will find, I've noticed this, and alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, I tried my best to advise people or to educate people. In tawaf, you find often a person is making tawaf with both shoulders covered.
Hmm.
In ihram.
Mm-hmm.
They are in ihram and they have both shoulders covered. Whereas it is a clear-cut sunnah of the ihram to leave the right shoulder open and the left shoulder covered. This is called ittiba. According to all the ulama and scholars, when you are making tawaf, for all the seven shouts and seven circuits of tawaf. But it often happens that a person didn't pay attention to this, was oblivious of this, did not remember to do this, was too excited, you know, in the process of starting the tawaf to remember about this. So you see a person making tawaf with both shoulders covered in ihram. Then in a polite way, in a nice way, explain to that person that leave the right shoulder open. That is the sunnah. If the person listens well and good, if not, you did your duty and responsibility. So like this, there are many other little mistakes and errors that people commit. Or people ask for some basic advice on certain aspects of Hajj, Umrah. And we know that ruling, then we should explain it to that person. If we are not sure, and a person is asking, try to find out from a learned person and convey it. It may happen that somebody is asking you in your group, wanted to find out some masala, but you didn't have the knowledge of it. So go and ask you know an alim, go and ask the alim on behalf of that person. That person may not have access to the alim. Go and ask the alim on behalf of that person and convey that to the person. So this is also a form of khidmah. In fact, this is a very superior form of khidmah. Because this is not just khidmah, this is also ta'aleem.
Ta'aleem.
To educate someone. So in this way, a person is able to also serve the people and, if possible, carry some good Islamic, some good literature on Hajj. Something basic, something simple, take it, if possible, distribute it, give it out to people. Nowadays, a lot of the booklets are coming in PDF format. And you could have downloaded it onto your phone, for example. And there are fellow hujjaj who haven't got these booklets, they don't have that in their possession. It's not going to cost you anything, maybe a bit of data to transfer the PDF to their phone. But they will then have that and they will read it, they will use it. This is also a form of khidmah. E-khidmah, if you want to call it, Maulana. A kind of, you know, electronic khidmah. Now you're passing the files across and you're passing PDF documents across, so people will benefit in that way. So the point is, be of benefit to people even in the smallest way. Inshallah, if you benefit people and you serve people like this, Allah Ta'ala will enhance the reward of your Hajj. Remember, I mentioned last week also, and I'm repeating it, that when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the virtue of Al-Hajjul Mabroor, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ, then when he was asked what is Hajj Mabroor, he mentioned about khidmah to people, table kalam, وَإِطَعَامُ ta'am, speaking nicely, kindly, politely to the people, feeding the people. So this is all included. These are acts of kindness and service to the fellow hujjaj. So that, now another possible way in which to help the hujjaj and to make the khidmah is to act as a translator if you are able to translate. Many don't speak Arabic at all.
Mm-hmm.
Many don't speak English at all. They speak other languages only. And you are, there are signs that are there in English, you know English, there are signs in Arabic if you know Arabic. Then try to explain to them, try to translate for them as best as you can. If you can act as a translator for people in certain situations, act as a translator. This is also a form of khidmah to the hujjaj.
Mufti Sahib, there's a question coming through, if you could answer quickly.
Ji, Maulana.
It says, with regards to covering of the shoulders, will it be for 3 rounds or all 7? Kindly.
No, the covering of the shoulder, the opening of the shoulder is for all 7 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for 3 rounds. The ramal, the walking briskly, is for the first 3 rounds. And the 4 rounds after that, we walk in the normal gait. But as far as the irtiba is concerned, the leaving of the right shoulder open is for the entire duration of the tawaf.
And there's one more, Mufti Sahib. It says, can I hold my partner's hand because of the large crowd and the fear of getting lost?
Yes, if there is a fear of getting lost, you can hold your partner's hand or give them a kind of a support, hold them around the shoulder or hold the arm. But I would prefer that, preferably hold around the arm or give a nice firm grip. Sometimes even hand, you can get separated, people come in between. Besides that, holding around the hand, or holding the hand sometimes, it could sort of trivialize the importance of the tawaf, because it's like people are holding hands and walking on, in a park. So what I'm trying to say is that if you want to give support, the better way to give support would be maybe to hold around the arm in that way. you're giving extra support to, and this impression is not created. So, yes, there's no problem with that. That is in order, especially when the crowd is big and so on. One must make sure that the people around you, your wife, your daughters, or your mother, or whoever your mahrams are, you're taking them for tawaf, you're giving them a firm support whilst the tawaf is in progress.
Ji, Mufti Sahib, you can continue.
Ji, Maulana?
You may continue with the discussion.
Okay. So now I think we're coming towards the end of this particular discussion. One more thing is that try and, you know, discuss the conditions of the ummah with people. In other words, if you meet people from different countries, inquire about the situation in their countries, inquire about the condition, not for the sake of just making conversation or being inquisitive about it, but really sincerely to find out what are the challenges they are facing, what are the difficulties they face, what are the strengths that they have, how is the situation as far as education and so on. Engage in discussion. You can always learn something, you can always be inspired in some way, and we can also share notes, and we can also convey this information to people who are, you know, who are able to do something about it, so that in this way we sort of building dialogue in the ummah. We are reaching out to people. There's a kind of outreach approach. We're showing love and concern for the affairs of the ummah. We are concerned about the well-being of the ummah. We are not narrowly focused on our own community and our own country, but we're thinking of the ummah is a global ummah, how we could assist and support and help the Muslims around the world, what can be done. So taking that kind of approach, one should engage in discussion with hujjats from different countries. After all, the Hajj was supposed to be an international seminar, in a way, where people from different parts of the world, especially the leadership of the ummah, get together in one common place and discuss issues that are affecting the ummah on different levels, you know, from a political point of view, from international relations point of view, from science and technology point of view, from education, from social issues, from you know, even from a fiqh point of view, the fiqhi complications and issues of the ummah. So there are many possibilities of engagement and interaction during the journey of Hajj. The ideal place for people to interact and to discuss and to dialogue, because all are together in one place from so many nationalities and so many languages and so many backgrounds and so many cultures, that it will be impossible to get people together like that elsewhere. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling an environment, an opportunity whereby the ummah can engage each other on these kind of issues. So this is also one thing to take into consideration. And finally, we say that we should also make khidmah of our fellow hujjat by blessing them with lots of du'as. In other words, you meet someone, make salam to them, give them plenty of du'as. I've seen ulama, and you know, in the Haramain Sharifain, they meet you. As soon as the meeting greeting is over, they make dua, may Allah Ta'ala accept your Hajj, may Allah make it easy for you, may Allah Ta'ala take you back safely, Allah give barakah in all your work, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless you and your children, and Allah Ta'ala give hidayah to all. You know, they were embodiments of dua. So we should also be generous with dua, give abundant dua to people, make dua of maghfirat for each other. Allahumma fini al-hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al-hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the hadi and the one on behalf of whom he seeks forgiveness, and also the dua that we give to the departing hadi. Zawadaka Allahu taqwa wa wajjahaka fil khair wa kafaka al-ham. These are the duas to give the hadis. The hadi should give each other duas. They should give dua to each other when they meet each other. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَنَا وَلَكُمْ. May Allah forgive you and forgive us. In this way, we will be a source of benefit to the fellow Hujjat. We will, love will be developed, muhabbat will be developed. Even if you don't know the language of the person, you don't know the person, but we are all together, brothers in Iman, brothers in Islam, brothers together in Hajj, what they used to call before Haji Bhais. People, brothers that become brothers due to being, you know, together in one great pillar of Islam. So this kind of, you know, a desire to bless the people with du'as and to shower them with du'as, this is a very great act of khidmah in this journey of Hajj.
Ji Mufti Sahab, pistol. Mufti Sahab. Mufti Zubair Sahab. It looks like we've lost the connection there. Let's see if we can get Mufti Sahab back. They're speaking about the importance of dua, and you need to be generous. Sometimes we're scared to be generous in terms of our dua. We think, no, oh, he'll get on the best, and he doesn't deserve it. But remember, whenever you make dua for somebody else, the angels also said, وَلَكَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Allah, may Allah grant you also the same. So it's important that we give dua with an open heart, and we say, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires, or whatever is destined for him, Allah will even give you, inshaAllah. So, be generous in your du'as. Sometimes we're very reluctant to give good du'as, because we think that that person will surpass us in life, and we think that that person will beat us. But that's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you wish success for somebody else, Allah will grant you also success. And if you wish good for somebody else, Allah will even give you a good. So, say you're asking for prosperity for that person, may Allah give you prosperity. The angels are even saying, وَلَكَ مِثْلُ ذَلِكَ, and the same to you. So, remember that at the end of the day, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that bestows upon people whatever they require, whatever they need. So, you should not despair, and you should not be stingy in your du'as. It's one form of generosity. It's one form of generosity to show people that you are kind in your du'as. And some people, alhamdulillah, by nature, they are very kind. They give du'as. When you just see them, they automatically, without you even asking them before you leave, they give du'as. And this is a unique thing you pick up in the Holy Lands. When you interact with the Arabs, every second word is, MashaAllah, and they tell you, Tabarakallah, and they'll tell you, so many other good du'as. They'll say, حياك الله, زادك الله علما, تقبل الله. So it's inherent within them to give du'as. And I think if we can pick up that quality, we would really, inshallah, prosper in our lives. Because indirectly, we're making du'a for ourselves also. So if you're making du'a for protection for somebody else, may Allah protect you, preserve you, look after you, the same du'as are then returning to us. So, it's important to bring this within our lives, inshallah, to make dua for others. Sincerely make dua for them. And do it with a genuine heart. And do it sincerely. Let's see if we can get Mufti Zubair again.
Ye hai khuda ka karam yaqinan, nabi ki tawseef kar raha hoon. Ye hai khuda ka karam yaqinan, nabi ki tawseef kar raha hoon. Ki jiski tareef khud khuda ne, main uski tareef kar raha hoon. توصیفِ محمد تک تلی خوزا
ستاغارے. Okay, we are unable to get through to Mufti Sahab, and we'll leave it as that, at that, inshallah, and we'll continue on Thursday with the social program with Mawlana Ibrahim Baam. In conclusion, We ask one and all to make dua for those people who are making Hajj. Just this morning I was reading Ihya ul-Ulum of Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, and he has brought in a very interesting narration. And in that narration, the hadith goes that Allah forgive those hujjaj who are seeking forgiveness, and for whom they are also seeking forgiveness. And so we request each and every haji that is in the Holy Lands at this time and at this moment to make dua for the ummah at large, and for the people who are at home, and those that are not present this year at the Holy Lands, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate their problems, make it easy for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Such a beautiful religion we have, where we take care of each other, where we love each other, we make dua for each other. This whole religion is based on love and mahabbah, and we need to spread mahabbah, we need to spread love, and we need to show this in our actions, in our speech, and the way we carry ourselves, inshallah. It's 3 minutes to the hour of 10. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.